Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to an amazing episode of Life Transformation Radio. Before we begin, I want to say from all of us, happy Halloween. I know you guys are going to be going out, so be safe and be smart. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is heard in over 63 countries, such as the United States, Canada, Mexico, all around Europe, like Germany, England, Sweden, Norway, and then even as far as Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand, Malaysia. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio, on our home network, Blog Talk Radio, at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Friday. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. I ask that you subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Google Play Music app, or wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. I ask that you subscribe, rate, and review the show. And then on the show, we have entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, other podcasters, and authors that are doing amazing things in their world, elevating lives all around them. And my guest today does just that. If you have any questions for any of the guests I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number 657-383-1109. Call in, let us know how we're doing, and ask a question to the guests. So please help me welcome to the show my friend, Ben Gioia. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sean, thank you so much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. And it kind of feels like these days, what isn't up?
Right. Man, I've been following you for some time, and you are doing amazing things in the world, and I am so honored and privileged to have you as a guest on Life Transformation Radio. Thank you so much for your time today.
It's such an honor and a pleasure, and especially to be able to have a conversation with you, because I've been following your stuff, too, and seeing the impact you're making in the world, and it's really, really something. So thank you for that, and you know, for this opportunity to share this space with you.
Oh, thank you so much, man. So the title of this episode is Influence with a Heart with Ben Gioia. Ben is a two-time best-selling author and speaker who's positioned global thought leaders, shifted culture at a Fortune 100, created a mindfulness video game, which I cannot wait to figure out what that's all about, and helps kick-ass heart-based women change the world. Ben founded the Influence with a Heart movement, a mindful, compassionate approach to leadership and innovation used by more than 20,000 people. Ben launched one of the world's biggest magazines, improved quality of life for people with ALS, like Stephen Hawking, and trains global business leaders at Stanford. While trekking in India and almost dying, Ben received a gift, a fire inside to serve. So today, he partners with thought leaders, organizations, and change makers to bring their ideas, vision, and message to the world. What you can do is go to influencewithaheart.com/webinar to learn more. Again, influencewithaheart.com/webinar. It is all in the show notes. Go ahead and click on the link. That'll take you right there. So I'm super pumped about everything I just read. There's so much I want to unpack about that. But the first question I have to ask is why? What is your big, deep why for what you do?
Thank you. That's such a beautiful and juicy question. And I think that's been something that's been evolving over the years, right? It's, you know, it reveals itself as one way, it reveals itself as another. So for me, you know, it started out with just wanting to help people. That was something that was modeled in my family. Many teachers in my family and many lawyers, you know, in the public space doing good for people. And, you know, so I just, right. That was what I grew up with. And, you know, from there, it kind of evolved when I first went overseas and spent time in South Africa. And, you know, that was my first wake up call to what is going on in the world for certain people in certain situations. And then from there, I found my way to my own spiritual path. And in that, my why became, you know, really contributing to the freedom of all beings, like whatever that looks like, freedom from pain, suffering, challenge, and even the internal things that plague us and cause us suffering. And these days, you know, scaled down, kind of back on the earth version of that is helping kick-ass heart-based women change the world.
I love it. And it sounds super direct too, like you know exactly the person that you're trying to reach. And I love that. You've described them and you know who they are. So well done. I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Thank you. It took me 9 years to find my way to that sentence.
Well, then I don't feel bad because I feel like I'm changing the person that I'm trying to reach, or I'm adding another attribute, or I'm taking one away, or I'm finding a different audience that resonated with my message that I didn't even think would resonate with it. I didn't even think about it. But they do. And then I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll just add them to the list, you know?
Yep.
So
beautiful.
It's always evolving, though. I don't think that it ever stays the same. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that I'm always going to target that one person or that one. It's always like right now, the season, like when I speak, it seemed like it was like month after month after month, it was like credit unions or financial industry. And all of a sudden it started going to business. And then it was like one after another. And it was always like this one group at a time that I was speaking at. And then I'd go back to another group and it'd be the same type of people. And it just comes in groups like that.
Mm.
But it's always evolving too. The people that are resonating with my message or the people that I'm mentoring seem to kind of just evolve, you know?
Yep. I do. And I appreciate you saying that. You know, let me think about two things. One is somebody asked Michelangelo, you know, how do you know what you're sculpting? And he's like, I don't, but I chip away at what shouldn't be there. So I really appreciate that. And yeah, in terms of how we think about our ideal client, our audience, our avatar. And the other one is that, you know, of course, in my world, that's going to change because we are changing as individuals. And so are the people that we're serving. So I think by dint of the progression of time and, you know, individual human evolution, like we have to change to accommodate how people are growing and evolving and changing themselves.
100%. Yeah, because I noticed that when I'm mentoring people or I'm speaking on stage, even my message, even my branding, my message has gotten stronger, tighter, clearer. You know, you get clarity, right? And I even grow through each process. Every person that I help build their business or I help build their speaker career or requesting a message, like I always learn something else and I use what I learn to my advantage and it just makes me more well-rounded. So even though I'm the mentor, I'm still learning as they're learning themselves,
which
I love. I love that part.
Yeah, I love that too. I was recently at an event with a bunch of you know, pretty master level kind of people, and one person said she didn't use as gentle language as I'm about to use, but she said, you know, as soon as you think you know it all, you're screwed.
Yep, that's true. Yeah. Yep, 100%. And I want to be on this journey of growth and this journey of learning because it's so fun to like. Learn something new and then apply it and go, oh, that was awesome. I love that. Instead of buying one course after another, after another, after another, and always consuming content and never feel like you're going anywhere because you're not applying what you've learned. How often do you find that?
Yeah, it's such a, I mean, you're bringing up such an important point here and I appreciate it. you know, that my business changed when I figured that out many years ago of like, ooh, you know, let me put the learning aside for a little while and put something into practice. And then pretty soon thereafter, a coach of mine said, hey, I have this internal rule, you know, one guru or coach or whatever the case may be, you know, one system, 1 year. And I thought, huh,
wow,
that makes a lot of sense, you know, to dig in. I mean, you know, assuming you're getting results and it makes sense to keep going through that year, but God, dig in, you know, get every single, you know, ounce of juice out of it and bring that into the transformation that you're offering. And then if it makes sense, when it makes sense to go to the next person, then do that.
Wow. You know, that could work. I've heard of the 80-20 rule.
Yep.
They said for every 20% of the content that you consume, you must take 80% action on that 20% of the content.
Ooh,
like, how do you measure that? You know, like 20% of a 10-minute video, so I take 2 minutes of the video and then take full action on that 2 minutes and just keep doing that every time? Or I mean, so I guess what they're saying is that for every, you know, two or three or four different articles that you read, take action on at least, you know, three quarters of those articles. You know what I mean? For every, it's, you know, so what I take away from that is, you know, whenever I learn something, I go all in. Like, I got to try this. I got to go all in. I got to make sure it works. I got to try it over and over again. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, that sucked. Next. Instead of just consume, and then you're stuck.
Absolutely.
Scrolling through Facebook for 3 hours.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting that you say that, too. I think this is a tremendously important strategy. For me, you know, I've been a writer since I was 12 years old. So, you know, now that I have things like Google Docs, you know, I can capture all sorts of information all the time because it's all interesting, compelling, and I love words and all those things. And, you know, I can have gigabytes of data that I am essentially not processing, right? Because it's, you know, someday, rather than following that 80-20 rule that you just articulated, you know, simply to not get buried under my own content. I think it's a good idea.
True. Yep. 100%. Because we're inundated with so much information. And when I'm mentoring somebody, like, well, I don't know, like, I hate, I'm not a big hate user, but I hate when people are like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know. I'm like, Google it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Like, if you Google it, millions of results come up. Like, you can't Google something. And I'm totally cool with people paying me X amount of dollars for me to show them the content and show them the information. Cause all I'm going to do is Google whatever they want to know. Like, I have the knowledge in my head, you know, I mean, I got the experience. I know what to do, but every so often I find myself, I'm like, interesting. You want to do that? Huh? I never actually used that program, but I mean, let me take a look at it. You know, like somebody the other day was like, have you used Kartra? I haven't. What the heck is that? So I Googled it and I was like, this is amazing. What is this? I was thinking Infusionsoft and, you know, and I was like, I might make a change. So
yep,
I'm constantly
yep.
learning. And then maybe I use it for somebody else. And then I look like a genius. Like, what can you use? Oh, there's Kartra. And they're like, you're a genius. I'm like, well, thank you. So
yep.
always learning, but always wanting to learn and being open to new information, I think is key. Having a growth mindset, I think, is key in what we do.
I agree with you. And I think that for me, all of the, what you just described really is, you know, aspects of thought leadership too, is that you – you know, are willing to learn, willing to grow, willing to, what's the word? You know, run all of this information through the filter of your experience, history, successes, failure, quote unquote failures, you know, the whole deal.
Right.
And be able to turn, you know, return that to the audience that's asking about it in this new / refined / elevated way. I mean, that's the gold right there. And, you know, Sean, the way you just described it is, you know, is really, really, really brilliant and beautiful.
Oh, no, absolutely. 100%. So tell me a transformational moment that happened to you or that a transformational moment that put you on the path to what you're doing now.
Yeah, thank you. So I have quite a few that I love to share. And I was thinking about the one that would make sense at this for this moment. And a little more than a dozen years ago, I was in India, northern India, and it was the second time I was there. And excuse me, we were just getting ready to do a 9-day trek through the Himalayas. So if you can picture, we're already at 12,000 feet elevation. We're going to hike for 9 days for 6 to 8 hours a day. And every other day, we're going to go over a high pass that's about 16,000 feet high. Okay? So,
wow.
Grueling from the beginning. And as we're getting our gear together to get to go, I realize that my hiking boots are in terrible shape. So I get some work on them. And the cobbler who does the work fixes the backs of my shoes kind of where they would touch my Achilles tendons on each side. And in fixing them, left a little extra material and glue, which turned into two tremendous blisters on my Achilles tendon. Yeah, before lunchtime on day one of the 9-day trek.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Right?
Oh, no.
Oh, so much. And you know, quick backstory is that, you know, for the dozen or so years before that trip, you know, I had been on what many people call the party train. Are you familiar with that term, Sean?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah. So it's basically, you know, my iteration of the party train was, you know, drugs and DJs and dancing, right?
Yep.
So
I've
been doing
that.
Yeah, had been doing that religiously for about a dozen years, you know, just on the weekends, you know, doing my job, building my career. Needed to get all away from all of that because the train was definitely off the rails at this point. So I get to the beginning of this hike and I'm kind of shaking my fist at the universe or at God, you know, whomever is listening, going like, why do I have these blisters? Because I made such a positive choice here. Right. So it was that, you know, why me mentality. And the transformation happened just a couple days after that, which was a really brilliant, brilliant thing. You know, walking step after step after hour after hour, you know, ouch after ouch after ouch, like every single step wincing, I started realizing that I was spending more time than I had ever spent before, literally in the present moment. And it wasn't because I was enjoying that feeling of my Achilles tendons and the blisters, but it was, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And what that turned into was an entire shift in my perspective initially of just looking at mountains in the Himalayas to actually being able to see the beauty and the grandeur and the amazingness about, you know, that was around me because I was connected to the present moment. So that was part A. And part
really?
B, yeah. Yeah, and part B of that, or kind of the unpacking of that, was my understanding, my experiential understanding of the difference between pain and suffering, right? Like that we are on this planet in human bodies, suffering is going to be part of our experience. Like we're fragile beings, physically and mentally, emotionally in many ways. We're going to experience pain because it's part of life, but we don't need to suffer because suffering is the story and all the stuff that we add
right
to that. And that was right. The big transformation, big takeaway for me.
You know, I tell you, there's a whole lot between like the pain and suffering talk. Like there's so much science and they say pain is one way and, you know, you don't have to suffer. Like everybody goes through pain, but you don't have to suffer. And I just equate it to people plant their mailbox and their address on that pain, on that adversity and say, I'm going to live here.
Yep.
And they suffer.
Yep. Yep. Beautiful analogy.
I don't know why. I don't understand why. And so as a resilience trainer, I'm always talking about growing through the adversity and through the pain instead of just going through it, just grow from it. Because then you learn to not make the same mistakes again, but you don't suffer through it because
yep.
you're learning to grow. That's, you know, acceptance is one of the hardest things we could ever do. And I love that you brought up like the suffering, you know, mm-hmm. because you don't have to. You don't have to suffer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was a really, really beautiful moment, and that awareness both of the suffering / pain differentiation, and also that, you know, having spent these 9 days radically and intensively in the present moment, about a month after that experience was the first time that I sat down and did my first 10-day silent meditation retreat. And that was, you know, something that really changed the trajectory of my life. And, you know, mindfulness and meditation are things that are absolutely foundation to everything that I teach, you know, around positioning, when I talk about leadership, you know, empathetic communication, the whole deal, you know, is all based for me on mindfulness and meditation.
Yeah, so totally agree with you. I love mindfulness.
Mm.
Love mindfulness. I use the kite analogy. When I'm teaching mindfulness, I use the kite. So you're a kite in the air, and the winds of life are blowing you around. They're beating you down relentlessly, and you're getting torn, and you're getting tattered, and it hurts, and it's not fun anymore. It was fun when there was a little bit of wind, but now there's a whole lot. What's on the other end of the string? What grounds you from blowing away?
Mm.
And so an exercise that I do is you need to write down what your tether is. What is your tether? What grounds you? And then we go into mindfulness and meaning making and acceptance. And, you know, I said mindfulness is just your situational awareness of your emotional being and everything else around you. It's being completely hypersensitive and aware of everything that going around you, not just how you feel in the moment, but it's being mindful of how that person feels too, and about this situation, and just being completely open-minded. What would you say your definition of mindfulness is?
Oh gosh, I really like, I don't think I can quote it word for word, but James Baraz, who's a meditation teacher, talks about having that attention to what's going on in the present moment, you know, without being sad that it's going to change, and without being angry that it's not going to change.
brilliant.
Because both of those things are going to happen, right? It will, that happiness will change, you know, that sadness or whatever, kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, all of that stuff is going to change. Right. So how do you just be with that, you know, non-judgmentally and allow it rather than trying to add a whole bunch of stuff to it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I love that. Yeah, I really love that. Talk to me about the video game. What was all that about?
Oh yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. So I, kind of fun story. Somebody reached out to me on LinkedIn one day and said, "Hey, we want to talk to you about something." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "We have this, We created this mindfulness and empathy training for our leadership team, and it's a 3-day immersive experience. They're having all sorts of benefits. They love it. What we want to do is we want to translate it in an applicable form to, you know, this portion of the company, about 16,000 people. And apparently we can't bring 16,000 people to a 3-day weekend. How do we do it?" So before I even, joined the group on this project, they had figured out that they wanted to create a video game. They wanted to have a virtual reality component, like an immersive experience, and, you know, have a whole bunch of other ways to practice it hands-on. So I worked with this team at the Fortune 100 company in conjunction with a video game studio in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And we literally created this game where you are a detective, and you get contacted by your mentor, and the mentor says, "Hey, you know, you got to come back to the town where you grew up in. All sorts of weird things are happening," and you show up, and your mentor is missing. So you have to use practices and perspectives of mindfulness, empathy, and compassionate communication to figure out where he is, what's going on, and ultimately to solve the mystery that's happening in that town.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Very cool. So is it like only available through them?
So far, yes. It's internal proprietary. I don't know if they're going to take it out into the world. Okay. Can't quite tell that yet. But you know, internally, they're loving it, and it's having quite an impact. You know, there are a couple people who, you know, I think for every new initiative, there are, you know, naysayers and people who don't want to or won't get on board. But the vast majority of the people are saying, "Hey, we love this. We enjoy it." You know, they're talking about how they bring the principles and practices to home with them as well. So, you know, we're not only impacting these 16,000-ish people and all the customers, but all of these people's families and friends and, you know, the people that they're interacting with at the grocery store, you know, just making those ripples happen, which I think is a really beautiful thing.
Right on. I like that. I think that would be a very great game for those that, like, I have a lot of friends that, they're not really, let the kids play too many video games. Like, I know people who, like, you can't watch SpongeBob or you can't do this cartoon, or we really want to kind of control what the kids are consuming. But I think if you had a mindfulness video game, I think that people would really get on board with that. I mean, I let my kids do it for sure. I can't stand my kids playing video games all day long. But I think that would be a game that a lot of parents would buy into.
Yeah, I think so too. And what this whole experience helped me understand was that there are actually quite a few companies, universities, MIT, places that create educational video games that are actually fun and are helping people actually shift behavior and shift how they do things. So, you know, I think there's a lot of video games that are a mess, of course, and we wouldn't want our children hanging out for long amounts of time, if any, but there are also these other opportunities, you know, in this medium that is so natural to so many people now, right? I mean, I think you and I are of a similar age, you know, where we didn't always have a phone or even the internet
right.
In the way it's around today.
Yep.
So, you know, being able to understand and meet people where they are and, you know, where they're spending the time, how they're learning, how they're interacting. This is a beautiful, beautiful way to do that.
I love it. I'm totally on board with that. That's amazing. So now, besides the video game, and you do the work with ALS and, you know, thought leaders, organizations, change makers. I mean, you're elevating lives everywhere you go. What do you do? Are you just a mentor, or, you know, what would you call yourself if you had to frame it? You know, like, what do you do with the people that you work with, or how you elevate their lives?
Yeah, thank you. So, in the kind of aspirational sense, I like to talk about, I'm here to inspire awakening, love, and joy, so all beings can realize their greatness, act with compassion, help more people, and live in freedom. So
I love it.
Broken down. What's that?
I said I love it. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. So in a tangible sense, I speak from the stage. I do group coaching, and I do consulting as well. All under this umbrella of Influence with a Heart. And, you know, this primary audience that I'm serving are kick-ass heart-based women who are here to change the world.
Very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
And then,
Sean, I'd just like to add that, you know, if you break it down a little bit more to, you know, day-to-day, moment-to-moment, person-to-person, you know, the things I do are really focus on mindfulness and presence mm-hmm. with everybody I'm serving and connecting with, right? Like, really making that distinction between silence and presence, right? Anybody can be silent, but are you actually present with yourself and with this person that you're serving or this group of people that you're serving? So that's a big one for me. And the other one is truly listening, you know, not from that orientation of what am I going to say next, but truly listening to be able to hear both what's being said, you know, the truth of what's being said, and possibly having an understanding of even what's not being said in that moment.
Perfect. No, I absolutely love that. You're doing an amazing job at that. So,
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I like following you. I love your content. I love what you do. So thanks for explaining that, because I know it sounds really good in our heads until somebody reads it and goes, huh?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So talk about the magazine. You launched one of the world's biggest magazines. What's that about?
Yeah. So a magazine that I don't know if they've started soliciting you yet, but AARP, right? The American Association of Retired Persons. They have a membership magazine, and they have, about 32 million members. So, around. I can't remember, around 2000. So I'm from New York originally, and my my first career was in the magazine publishing and production industry. And so I was part of the launch team for AARP, the magazine. I created all of the editorial production processes for that magazine. And every 2 months we would print and ship 32 million copies around the world, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It truly is. It truly is. I am delighted to have been part of that, you know, to support, you know, the mission of the organization and to be able to get the message so far and wide. Not so happy about all the trees that are involved in something like that. So I'm really, really glad for things like the internet these days. That they can take some of that ecological pressure off the messaging process.
Wow. Very cool. You know, I didn't even realize it was that one, like that. And I didn't even realize it was that big either. I see the TV commercials, you know, whatever, but I had no idea. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. So if someone wants to work with you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, thanks. Just to visit my website at influencewithaheart.com. I have this great webinar coming up that's you can get to from probably any page on the site that's on or uniquely suited to kick-ass heart-based women, and talk a lot about my experience and basically talking about how I created some pretty epic successes on my journey and making that available to the people who join this webinar. So there's that. And then the connect page on my website, you can reach me on social media, send me an email, set up an appointment to say hello. Whatever suits you for finding more about me. And I'm delighted to serve you in any way that I can. So Sean, thank you for asking.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. So as we start to close the show, what kind of resources, if someone wants to start doing some of the things that you wanted to do, you know, author, speaker, magazine, just some of the things, get into mindfulness, you know, what are some of the resources that you recommend that they start looking into?
Yeah, gotcha. Let's see. I mean, if you resonate with me and my stuff, there's my book, Influence with a Heart, which is on Amazon. As far as mindfulness and meditation, I would say, you know, get to some kind of meditation every day, even if it's for a minute, just following your breath. You know, there's a million ways to meditate. Maybe not quite that many. There are quite a few ways to meditate. Find one and start practicing, because your wisdom, your intuition, your insight, all of that stuff comes from inside. You know, and we can hear when we're still and when we're quiet. So I invite and advise everyone to bring that kind of practice and that kind of awareness into their lives. Aside from that, if this isn't in your wheelhouse or in your expertise history, you know, learn things about marketing and copywriting and influence. You know, keep your intention and perspective pure and from a place of integrity. Like, don't fall into the persuasion manipulation trap of the stuff you might come across. but think of, you know, having that tool in your tool belt for your, you know, to expand your ability to bring your message and your vision to the world. So, you know, find products, you know, books, products, and coaching that really supports you, you know, marketing, business awareness and acumen, getting super duper clear on your purpose. Sean, I think you talk about that quite a bit as well.
Yep.
How vital that is, and how, you know, when you're clear on your purpose, you know, you can get clear on the on what you want to do, why you want to do it, who you want to do it with, how you want to do it, right? And then
it makes
it all a lot easier. I'm not saying it makes it easy, but it makes it a hell of a lot easier when you're aligned, when you're on point, doing something that you love, you know, much more often from a place of flow than trying to push a big rock up the hill.
Very cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I think that's key. People who are listening really need to key in on that. So appreciate the share.
My pleasure.
So as we close, what is the one nugget of knowledge that you could give somebody that would motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
Wow. Spend as much time as
we
you
ask
possibly
the hard
can
questions on the show.
I appreciate that. Spend as much time as you possibly can in the present moment. Whether that's formal sitting meditation on a cushion or bringing mindfulness into what you're thinking and speaking and doing every day. And the practice that I love for this is basically anytime you become aware of that you're in the present moment, like, hey, I'm driving the car, I can feel my hands on the wheel, or hey, I'm doing the dishes, or hey, I'm really angry at my child, whatever that is, as you're feeling that feeling in the present moment, just breathe with it for three breaths, and then carry on with your life. And then the next time you realize, hey, I'm in the present moment, three more breaths. The next time you feel a wonderful feeling and you realize it, three breaths. Terrible feeling, three breaths, and on, and just
That's awesome.
Build that muscle and build that muscle.
Absolutely, 100%. And mindfulness has a little bit of emotional intelligence to it as well. So you can actually feel, right? Like see, hear, and feel. What am I seeing? Mm-hmm. What am I hearing? What am I feeling? And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at some of the triggers that people have that they didn't realize they had they not done that exercise. So it's a very cool exercise.
Thank you. Yeah. Someone named Ezra Beta, I read an article in Tricycle magazine about 15 years ago, and I read that and I went, that's a beauty.
I love it. Well, Ben, I want to thank you for your time on a Halloween edition of Life Transformation Radio. Any last words for our listeners?
If you're listening to this, whether this is live or in the replay, you know, you have an amazing gift and a reason why you're here, and you may know some or all of that already. You know, whatever that is, keep honoring, keep serving, keep nurturing, keep loving, keep playing with that. And keep allowing that to unfold and really, you know, keep guiding you on this amazing adventure that your life is.
Perfect. Love it. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate your time and the knowledge that you've shared with us today.
Thank you, Sean. Take good care. I appreciate everything.
You too. Thank you. Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest, elevating lives all around him. If anything resonated with anything that Ben had said, follow him on Facebook and go to influencewithaheart.com/webinar, jump on the webinar, and learn more about the movement that he has started, influencewithaheart.com/webinar. If anything's resonated with this episode, you can subscribe, rate, and review on all of the podcatchers or wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. Go to iTunes, leave us a review. We'd love to know how we're doing and how we can best serve you. As we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.